Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
This is episode 49 of Growth Marketing Today. Welcome. I'm your host, Ramley John, and if you're new here, my mission is to help marketers like you sharpen their skills by talking to some of today's top marketing experts. Today, I had the pleasure of talking to Alexandre Ferrari. He's the founder of a Brazilian growth agency, Trocao Online. He's implemented and ran growth process for YC-backed companies, as well as multinational brands like Unilever. This is going to be interesting because whenever I think about growth, I usually think about startups and small companies. But here you'll see how the growth is done in multinational brands. This episode, you find out that exact process that Alexander uses for that company and how to create a culture of growth in a bigger company. I put together tweetable quotes and show notes from this episode that you can get at growthtodata.fm/49, or you can find the link in the description. On that page, you'll be able to join the Growth Today tribe, where I'll send you the growth cheat sheet with all actionable tips from future episodes directly to your mailbox. Think about it. You don't have to mine through audio to get the tips. You can actually, I'll actually put that together in one document that you can get directly to you. You'll also be the first to know about future guests and be able to ask them questions. As a teaser, I have a really big shot author that's coming up on this podcast. I am going to keep that quiet until it's ready, but you will be the first to know if you're part of the Growth Today tribe. And like I said, if you have questions for that person, you can ask it to me via email if you join the Growth Today tribe. Now, once again, you can get that at growthtoday.fm/49. Join the Growth Today fam. If you're new here, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. As always, I'd appreciate it if you leave a 5-star review wherever you get that podcast. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in. I don't want to hold you back any further. Let's listen in on my chat with Alexa. Hey, everybody. I have Ali all the way from Brazil. Beautiful Brazil weather there.
Yeah, man. It's a sunny day here. And, you know, it's also Friday today. So, come on. Let's have some fun talking about growth, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited. Weather's nice, even here in Toronto. There's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. You know, particularly you've been working on this growth agency that's worked with a lot of Y Combinator companies. Before we talk about that, maybe we can tell me a little bit about your career path so far. Particularly, I'm interested in like how, you know, growth and marketing happens in Brazil and where you came from.
Right, right. I am also pretty excited to be here, and thank you so much for having me. And, you know, at my, you know, experience until today, I have been an entrepreneur since 18 years old and starting with a communication agency. And after I graduated in management and have an MBA in strategic management of business, but I have learned way more by founding companies. And actually, I founded a few startups that become companies, right? But the first one is related with crowdsourcing. And you know, this is a concept in this time, we are a kind of platform to help big companies on their innovation challenges. And we got some big clients in the moment, like a telecommunication company, Telefonica. And so I started another company after that, a fintech company, even before this term, a fintech emerged, really. And that was built to help people pay the bills on time. That is a tough problem here in Brazil. And with this project, we got some traction and we become part of the first batch of Startup Brazil. Startup Brazil is a program of acceleration from Brazilian government here. And so, right. And after that, I also started another startup that is related with, you know, this concept of online to offline, O2O. But it's focused on delivering gallons of water. You know, makes sense for you. It's just people here in Brazil ask a lot of gallons of water. And with this project that is based on a mobile app, we deliver lots of water, kind of more than 100 cities, 150 cities here in Brazil. And we delivered. And so, you know, I did a lot of hard working along the way of these ventures. But nowadays, I'm consulting both our early companies, early ventures, and established companies, mainly in validation and growth processes.
You said that you did an MBA. You found that starting companies gave you a better grounding in terms of business and growth. A lot of people might not know this about me. I actually did an MBA as well. I don't say that as much, but I totally agree with you that, you know, when I started a company, when I started working with startups, it was like getting a kick in the pants with growth and trying to really reach out to users and trying to retain them.
Yeah, sure. You know, the Steve Blank phrase about no one business plan survived the first contact with a real customer, right? And that's happened. And when you start to really do a business, it's when we start to learn about that. You know, I can say that today I'm a kind of experimented entrepreneur, and because I work in a lot of roles like a marketer and team builder and operator and, you know, many things. So it's a lot of experiences and learnings that I don't know, maybe no one MBA can help you on that, right?
Yeah, and the best way to learn things sometimes is just to actually do it, either fail and then learn from your mistakes, or actually do it and succeed and you actually figure that out on your own. One of the things that you started right now, you talked about it briefly, is you started this consulting firm or consulting company that's worked with like established companies, Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, and also Y Combinator startup is called. And I'm going to butcher this because this is Brazilian. It's a Portuguese term, Tracau Online or Tracau
dot online. Don't worry, Henry, it's pretty okay. You know, Tração, that is in
tração,
Portuguese.
Okay.
But it's completely, it's equal to Traction.
Traction,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of Traction Online, but in Portuguese.
Yeah, for my listeners, it's Tracao dot online. So if they wanted to check it out, they can check it out. But so what is that, and like what companies do you work with in establishing growth processes?
In Tração Online, we are a group of entrepreneurs, you know, but we also are a group of marketing channel experts. So we have specialists in customer discovery, sales, online ads, referral, and product-led growth and other things. You know, anything that we can use for growth as a strategy, we pick an expert and because it's important, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we are focused in validation of new business opportunities and also in growth challenges of already existing business. So it's the two moments, right? When these ventures are starting and when we need to grow these ventures. And, you know, we're supporting mainly big companies but also scale up startups. And normally we help early ventures too, but not in the main consulting service, you know, because we can bring more value to big companies and scale up startups. We have a lot of great cases, I can say, but just ones that we are proud about include Unilever, that is the big company. A bigger company, right?
Yeah.
Another one is VTEX. VTEX, I think it's cloud commerce here in Latin America. It's a huge e-commerce platform. You know, these guys are already creating more than 1,000 new e-commerces every week or more probably. And, you know, and also we have BX Blue from Roberto Braga, you know, that has been part of our podcast before in episode 40. And which we have been growing size the very beginning until they become a Combinator company and after, you know, but the main difference probably of our approach is our methodology. We created a way to pursue this growth model, and we call this growth path, and it's based on our own previous and recurrent experiences, right? And, you know, as entrepreneurs and also as a constant of many kinds of business, and we use the same method of building growth many times, and we are pretty happy to with these results, right?
Yeah, that's true. I'm really interested in how you do growth for a larger company. Unilever is a multi-billion dollar company. They have brands like Lipton, Dove. What does the growth look like there? Like, how did you, and secondly, how did you help Unilever with this whole growth mentality?
Let's start by the methodology and we go to the Unilever case. And, you know, at methodology itself, we understand that a growth model needs to be sustainable. That is the main thing. And we all come from, lean startup battlefields. Here in Brazil, we are used to do this since ever, like be lean, right? Going step by step and growing in a sustainable way, almost like a bootstrapper. And, you know, there's not much money in the market. And because of that, we need to be sustainable. And a growth path, we break critical achievements that need to be met in order to create a growth model that works. Here, works is equal to, you know, make money. So it works. And in some point, because of this step-by-step process, we start to answer without guessing. The traditional VC questions, how much money do you need in order to grow? Oh, I can't say that. And how much you can you grow with this money? Oh, I can't say that, because when I establish a step-by-step process and understanding what is the critical achievements are and how much cost for that, we can say that without any guessing, right? And, you know, with this point of view, we actually bring productivity to the company's growth model. That's the main thing of growth path.
Nice. And particularly, I'm curious how you implemented this in Unilever's case. Where did you work for a particular brand within Unilever, or did you just do it for maybe their UX team or growth team that they're trying to implement, like a skunk work innovation team?
Yeah, nice. With Unilever, that is this bigger company, I can explain a lot of things because we have a kind of disclosure agreement.
I figured.
But yeah, don't worry. But understanding the context is an emerging business unit here in Brazil. Goes straight to this experimentation process with us and mainly looking for early traction and validation of key assumptions of this model. And looking through this growth process and growth path methodology, we're starting to experiment and understand if these key assumptions really make sense and it's true in the market. So, in the case, actually, we had a group of executives from the new business department, and together with our team and the team of this specifically new business itself, right? So it's a great experience, actually.
One other thing that you said was you're trying to build productivity in this growth process. How do you do that? Like, what is, whenever I think about productivity, I get kind of scared because future is always uncertain. There's always a lot of factors that can take into place. The whole market can break down because of one tweet from a certain president. You know, how do you build that productivity in terms of growth for whether it's a big company or just a startup?
In one word, it's just learning. We need to learn a lot and understand if actually this productivity can be possible in the first place, right? For learning, we do a lot of experimentation process. We think that is the best thing for do. And using it as an example, imagine if we have a channel that makes your early traction happens, and now you want to grow more, right? So we need to verify if that there is volume, how much it costs. And this productivity itself makes sense. It's possible or not. And when things make sense, we normally start to double down and closely track the results. So based on this data-driven approach, we are going to step by step building trust channels and these numbers itself. So it's because that we can bring productivity and understand if their capabilities to scale and generate growth. So in one learning, one word again is like learning based on experimentation process.
That's true, right? Like you, the world is always changing. It's changing faster. What you want to do is learn fast and pivot fast. Like you want to be reacting and also trying to see where things are going as quickly as possible.
Exactly. You know, like a key belief is that you try to understand to figure out if a business actually can be made or not. It's the main point. You need to validate this and understand by learning, by experimentating, because, you know, contexts change a lot.
So this is where my struggle is. Like with startups, like a small ship, a small boat, it's easy to steer a small boat. But something like a larger boat, like a ship, like a cruise ship that, you know, you're trying to steer, you know, you're learning as quickly as possible. But reacting to new information can take... It could take months if you don't have the right culture. And I know you did sign a non-disclosure agreement with Unilever, but how did you go about training or building that mentality in terms of Unilever or any other bigger companies that you've implemented this growth process?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question because this culture are not established normally in big companies, right? And because of many things, but one of the important things that we did is just make a great alignment about where we can go, where we don't can go anyway, and this is a powerful thing because we used to define this in the first place, and after that, in the middle of the journey, when we start experimenting and talking about learnings and talking about new experimentations and starting to be more clear that we are all together thinking on these key assumptions, we are all together thinking on how to grow and all together thinking about ideas to experimentate and try to do. Because of this team group, I believe a lot that growth is a team effort. So because right. of this connection and this, you know, a pretty straight communication and iteration, and we're starting to figuring out the right movements and how to better work in the environment of this big company with the culture of this big company. Because of that step-by-step process, when we do experimentation, we don't do experimentation at big bets like right. Big companies do, right? Oh, I will make a huge campaign with a huge team. And you know, lots of huge things already, but we don't do that. We start by small steps, small experiments, and by small experiments, and we are understanding that we can double down these experiments and making these experiments more bigger. And you know, because probably this process that works because we don't put a lot of risk in the process because it's a small experiment, and because of this great integration with the team, I think that is the culture of experimentation starting to emerge.
Right. I really like that. I really like how you instead of like trying to blow up and implement this growth process, experimentation process in a bigger company, you try to start with a small team. And I also heard that you try to rally them around a certain problem so that you have a shared goal, you have a shared mission, that you're almost a SWAT team. You're trying to figure out this problem and you're going through it together.
Exactly that. Yeah, and together, that's the point.
Now, you're talking about experimentation and doing small bets instead of big bets for this larger companies. Is there any particular experiment that you can talk about? And like I said, I'm quite aware that you did sign that non-disclosure agreement. Like any small experiment that you can talk vaguely about with this company instead of like trying to do a big bet.
Yeah, right. So I can talk about, but I this is a process. So it's not experiment itself. It's more the base that help us create this experiment process. And you know, here in our agency, we have like a question that we ask ourselves every time, and we ask ourselves together with these teams involved with growth process that this question is, are we crazy to believe in that? You know, and when we ask this question, we understand that, oh, come on, maybe we are crazy to believe. And if you are not crazy, some hypotheses need to be verified. We needs to be a real market proof to back up our critical beliefs, right? And when we create this, the experimenting process, thinking like that, oh, maybe we are crazy to believe that, and let's figure out if you are not crazy to believe in that, we're starting to understand how we can go in the process. So, you know, when we start to working off with Unilever as an example, the main thing is just we are crazy to believe that this business unit can make sense. There is actually people looking for this kind of solution. There is a market for this pain in the Brazil market, and with this, no, this is a key assumption for the business unit, and we're starting to understand if we are crazy to believe that or not. And because of that, we're starting to figuring out how to experiment these ideas and understand if we can look at the market and pick real proofs, right? So market proofs that this business unit can be made, can grow, and make sense for the business itself. I don't say exactly what is experiment.
Yeah, it's okay. But, I got it.
Yeah, but you know, the concept is that it happens exactly like I said.
How do you validate that pain point? And that's something that I heard from you say. There's a lot of ways to do it. I've heard doing surveys, going out and just talking to customers, or creating a small minimum viable product. How did you go about proving that pain point for this particular case?
Yeah, you know, the pain point itself is one of the main things for us. Normally, we start in our growth process thinking about where is our connection with the market? Where is the pain point with any people, any personas that really exist, you know, and we can really help? And because that or existing in the market makes sense, right? So this is a pretty important thing. And we're starting by that, by validating if this pain point actually exists. And for that, you told about that, it's just, you know, you need to, create a experimenting that will show up for these people and printing some ads or printing some offers. And you need to understand if these offers, these ads, will actually engage these people. People are understanding what we are talking. And it's mainly in the first moments, it's not all things in the numbers. You need to also make this qualified thing that is talking to customers. So we make a lot of interviews to understand if you are not crazy to believe, right? So, and it's pretty important because much more learning are based on interviews in the first moments, and talking with real customers, we're starting to figuring out a lot of possibilities of experimentation and how actually are these pain points that we are trying to help really happens in the real life, and what is the point of contact, what is the real life of these customers. And with these things learned, we're starting to figure out really great channels to pursue this opportunity, right?
Yeah, that's totally true, right? You're trying to look at a few things And I'm jumping on this, and this is not something that I put on a list of questions to you. I'm curious, you know, for startups, they tend to take leaps of faith. You know, they don't have enough data sometimes, and they take that leap of faith for a particular experiment, even though they don't have, enough data. Do you find in larger companies, they're risk averse, they want to see more data, and it takes longer to gather data than it is to actually launch the experiment itself?
Yeah, you know, it's a cultural change for sure. You know, we are starting to understand that we are it's difficult in the first place, mainly in the environment of a big company, that we are not in a moment that specifically in this business unity, we are not in a moment that we are full of certainty. You know, we are full of actually uncertainty. We have no idea what will happen. We are not sure about that. Things will happen like we want. So, you know, we starting to figuring out that, you know, our beliefs are probably not so true. We need to understand if it's true before we're starting to go bigger, right? We don't need to put a lot of money on that. We don't need to put a lot of effort on that. We need to validate first. And after validating and starting, and you know, this is a lean process, actually, when we go small bets to small bets and enhance the size of these bets, time by time, and understanding if when it got bigger, this our results also get bigger or not, right? And because of this step by step process, we actually can improve the investments and trying to go faster and faster. You know, but you know, always looking for the restrictions, the how to proceed actually, you know, and also the strategy behind the business that can, you know, make you a point for another growth metric or something.
You mentioned that it's the step-by-step process, and it's something that I should have asked earlier about this growth step-by-step process that you guys created. Can you list it out, all the steps, like step one is this, step two is this, and then all the steps?
It's a thing that we use like a framework to understand the environment. When we are making the first diagnosis, we understand looking for these steps, we are not going 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, it's not our order on that. It's just a way to understand the business, understand the growth efforts, and many times when we after the diagnosis understand that one of these steps are the main problem, we're starting from that, right? But you know, depends on the context. But these steps that we looking when we are making this diagnosis, and there is our framework. It's kind of, kind of 7 steps. The first one is like the we call here the persona, pain, and moment. It's like the ICP, the ideal customer, but it's more like more focused on the pain point itself and not actually in the persona. Persona make is part of this, but pain point we believe is the really connection. You know, we bring product market fit because of this pain point, you know. And okay, this is the first one. And the second one is actually the traction channels, you know, acquisition and volume and things like where we can find this persona, where we can find people with the same pain point, right? And after that, we're starting to understand, we call this capacity of print, is related with CPM, you know, this metric from, you know, online ads. It's a kind of, how much cost to print, to offer something for this persona. And okay, the next one we call the capacity of engage. So, you know, how many people do the action related with this offer? You know, the first thing, you know, the click, how many people, you know, the CTR is how many people click on this ad is like an example of the capacity of engage. And we also have the capacity of conversion. So how many people, you know, got interested on this thing and actually convert, right? Because if don't convert, maybe we can, you know, use a lot of things to change maybe the channel or change or message on the ad or something like that. So we're starting to figure out what happened that people don't convert or don't engage or, you know, and after that, we need to close. So it's a capacity of close. So it is important thing because when we start the mainly in the early ventures, when there is not so much sales, there is not so much clients, we are not confident that we can actually close business, you know, make sales itself. So we need to verify this first than anything. So in this pain point, people will actually put their hands on the pocket and pay you for that or not, right? Because if not, maybe we can do a business here and it makes sense, right? And but this is a pain point that we need to check early on. So this is the capacity of close for us, like how many people paid for that, right? Actually paid. It's not, oh, we paid. Oh, it's paid, right? And another thing is the capacity of retention. So, you know, to be a growth model that is sustainable, you don't need just to make sales to close. We need to retain. So, you know, how many people paid again, or how many people I can make an upsell, or how many people are really getting value for our solution, right? And, you know, but when we do that this way, we're starting to create a growth effort, build peer pain, peer persona, and peer moment, and actually also peer traction channel. So, you know, we're starting to break all these things in numbers and in metrics that we can show, we can look for a big picture of this different channels, different efforts, and different different impacts that we can achieve with experiments. And with this map, we can understand what is the best thing to experiment now, and what is right, or what is the best impact for the model, and what is the metric that we need to pursue it in the next quarter or something like that, right?
I like how you said, you know, you're looking for channels that get the customers actually pay for your product instead of will pay. Like, they're not promising to pay you. They've actually given you their credit card or their cash.
Exactly. It's important, man, because, you know, when you are validation a thing and people say you, oh, I will pay for that. Come on. It's not ever true, every time true, right? Normally people say that because want to be nice with you, not because the pain point really exists and the solution is will be pretty great for them, right?
I'm curious what you think about with focusing on channels that get paying customers. That's the whole point of performance marketing, but there's this other side to it where it's more like trying to build a brand marketing, where, you know, it doesn't directly correlate to dollar value or return on ad spend or return on marketing. Have you ever worked with a company where you had to balance that too, where like they want to build a brand, which you don't see the return right away, and also they, in the short term, they want to get some revenue or sales in the short term?
Right, I understand. And, you know, this is because normally, you know, in some context, like you said, the strategy of business is become a brand, and it's build awareness in the brand, right? And because of that, we need to verify that our efforts are bringing that. And because in doing this, looking for, okay, if there is a strategy that is, we need to be more huge and in media or in another places, we're starting to figure out how we can do that. And based actually like the same process in the step-by-step experiment, we're starting to understand if our efforts will bring this. So we, when this come, we understand and try to figure out how we can be data driven on this point. Also, you know, when we are looking for capacity to close or make sales, it's pretty easy to be data driven. But when we are looking for awareness, sometimes starting to be a kind of gray, you know, it's not so clear sometimes, but you know, we need to be sure that we are achieving this thing. And so we need to understand what is the metrics behind that strategy. So building these metrics, we're starting to also building experiments to impact these metrics and look for the results. So the process is starting to be the same, but you know, our focuses, because of this strategy of business, is a kind of different. But it works too, you know. The important thing is you need to build this data-driven approach, because if not, man, mainly we're starting to just guessing things and don't understand if things really help you or don't.
Now, you mentioned it briefly. You also talked about metrics. Is there any particular metrics that you look at in the beginning and also when you're scaling up those channels?
Sure, there is a lot of metrics, you know, because the context. And when we starting to in the early ventures, we need to understand if there is sales, if there is clients, and if these clients are happy, if there is a capacity of retaining these clients. Because you know, when we are starting a venture, we normally think that our solutions are great, our solutions are the best of the market and everything, but it's not so true normally. You know, the customers normally are not so happy with the solution, and we need to understand what is specifically this happy clients and what is happening itself. And so it's a key metric for the start. But after that, when we have established channels and we are starting to grow, and we have this kind of model that is works as a machine, right? I put money here and money gets out. And but you know, when we have that, it's okay. You can go ahead and starting to pursue more growth with the same channels. But there is another great metric for us, is that how many channels are you testing now? Because we know that normally channels, you know, are not eventually stop working, right? So, and sature and don't work more like we want. And if you grow your business only focused on one channel, and normally is not a good thing. We need to create more channels to be more more sustainable in the long runs, right? So that is another metric that we look for, because you know, we've seen before a lot of business that are great and grow, but based on just one channel, and this channel change like SEO or also Facebook. So you know, these things channel, the rules channel, the costs channel change, and you know, things start to be difficult.
Great. No, that's totally true, right? They have to be really looking at the metrics and the data. Now, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit, and I'm curious, you know, you work with some companies in US and Brazil. You know, what's the difference, if any, in terms of running growth for the US market or the market in Brazil?
There's not so much difference. People say that, oh, come on, but it's a different market, different context. Yes, it is. You know, it is. The environment here in Brazil is an early stage compared with the USA market. You know, we don't have lots of availability of venture capital. We have some lack of innovation maturity. We also have other aspects that impact the efforts of growth. But in the beta field, you know, it's the same things. You know, the challenges are not so different. Teams are looking to validate their business and grow your client base and your results. So it's the same thing, the same approach, and the same process itself. You know, these things will change because I have more powerful channels in one place and not another. I have more. It's more difficult to grow for one channel in one place and not another. But as a growth manager, you know, the environment is part of the job. So we need to engage the team and to look into levers and opportunities to grow in the same way, Brazil or US market. So no, there's a difference because the environment is things, but when I look for the experimentation process and the results that we want to build, it's almost the same, right?
Yeah, you're right. I think the process should remain the same.
Yeah, it's the same process, but you know, it's not actually the same experiments. It's not actually the same kind of team or maturity that we have. But you know, things works, but maybe in USA we can go more fast or not, because you know, not every time is it's so easy to understand, right?
Would you say that the business in Brazil is more risk averse than in the US? Well, comparing to Canada, Canadian, the startup or the larger companies here in Canada, it's a little bit more risk averse than US. I know US, they like to move things and invest really quickly. Is that something you also see in Brazil?
Yeah, I think it's mainly because, you know, this availability, of venture capital, you know. In USA, it's more easily to make an exit. It's just that. It's more easily to put the money in a company that is early venture and is starting to make money in the long run. And there is a place for this market. There is people buying these early ventures. And I don't know exactly how it is in Canada, but you know, in Brazil, this is just starting. So we are not mature on this place. And because of that, normally we need to be really more, you know, we need to be more careful with this how we can afford this risk, because normally we need to accept that maybe the business itself needs to be sustainable, because no one will pay more money or make another round without really great numbers, right? Because of this risk is aversion.
You know, I'm about to wrap up. I have one more question from you. What kind of advice would you have for anybody who's trying to, you know, get into growth marketing or implementing this growth process? Is there one advice that you have that you'd like to give to them?
Let me understand. You know, when I'm looking for big companies, my main advice is just understanding that when I look for growth, we need to be step by step. We need to go looking for learning, that is the main thing, and understand what is exactly the results, what did happen actually. You know, normally the thing is people understand that build, measure, learn, it's a great process. We are in the foundation of this, but normally people just build. Some people start to measure what happened, and even less people start to learn for what happened. And this is a process that needs to be made step by step and all the steps away, right? Because if you don't learn, it's kind of, we start to repeat these experiments that don't happen, don't help you itself. So this is a thing that you need to focus on, learn, and focus on make this process fully, right? I think this is the main thing for me.
Hey, I'm about to wrap up. You know, where can people find you, Ale? Like, where you have Twitter? Do you want to send them to LinkedIn? What is your call to action for my listeners right now?
Yeah, please, come on. Invite me to chat on Twitter. It would be amazing. My nickname here in Twitter is A Ferrari. I don't know how to say better than that. But it's A and Ferrari, that's my name. So it's not so difficult to find me in Twitter. And also by sending me an email, it's Alexandre at Tração Online. So Tração.online. So come on. Yep. It would be amazing to chat.
I'll add that in the show notes links. That will be available in the description here.
Oh, thank you so much, Emily.
All right. Thanks, Ale. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you so much, man. And it's amazing to participate here with you. Let's grow, man.
Well, thanks for listening all the way till the end. I always love it when people listen through the whole podcast, because it just, thank you. I just want to thank you so much. And the way I'm going to thank you is sharing with you three key takeaways that I took away from my chat with Alexander. First, double down on things that work.
My problem is that I get excited with shiny and new things. I'm not sure if you're like that, but whenever I learn a new insight about my customer, product, or market, I say, yeah, let's do that. I think the same is true for most growth marketers and entrepreneurs, but we have to see what works and double down instead of making big bets on untried tactics. Second, growth is a team effort. This is huge. This is something I have heard from Corey Haynes, the head of growth at Bear Metrics in episode 46. He said, everything is marketing and marketing is everything. This means that growth is everyone's responsibility, from sales, customer success, support, marketing, product, and design. Third, maximizing learning is the most important thing in growth. That's what Ali said. It's the way to build productivity in your growth process. That means that the faster and higher quality that you learn about your customer, product, and market, the quicker you'll be to adapt your product, marketing, and processes to respond to those changes. Now, I put together quotes and also show notes from this episode that you can get to growtoday.fm/49. There you'll be able to join the Grow Today tribe. You'll get future cheat sheets from future episodes where I'll put together actionable tips from all podcast episodes. You'll also be the first one to know on who my guests are, and you can ask them questions. Other than that, as always, keep on growing. Passion, 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 passion.